This morning we're going to talk about this gospel, and this gospel is the gospel. There are a lot of gospels in the world, but we're specifically talking about the one that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24:14, where he said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come." This gospel. It is the gospel that Jesus brought. It is the gospel that Paul preached. And in a world where there's so many voices, there is still only one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We ask, Lord, that you anoint me to speak only what you would have me say. Anoint our ears and our hearts to receive. Those that will be watching through YouTube or listening on the internet, we pray an anointing on the reception there. Be glorified, Lord. May it all be to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached." Notice you have to keep the gospel. You have to retain it. You have to hold on to it. You have to stand on it. You know, there's such a falling away. I've talked to so many people in the last couple months where they are changing their view of the world. They're looking to a higher power, you know, because, well, how do you know the Muslim? No. There is one gospel. There is one spirit. There is one way. And Jesus said that. And Paul says, you know, this is what you believed when I preached to you, and this is what you received. You need to stand in it, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. And then he goes on to say, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture." Notice Paul backs it up. This is not just some fairy tale, not some story, not some whim, not some latest wave. The Scriptures foretold it, and Jesus fulfilled it, and Paul preached it. It is the gospel, this gospel. And he says, "According to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day," again, according to the Scriptures. Amen. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:3, he says, "But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost." We understand that Satan puts blinders on people. You try to share the gospel, and they don't receive it. Amen. They're blinded by the lies of the devil, and whom he says, "The God of this world has blinded their minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them." The greatest thing that we can give anybody is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift you can give them. And they may say, "Well, pray for me, my lumbago or my hip or my head," and that's a temporal thing, but you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ and you give them an eternal gift. Amen. And that's what we're talking about. This, we're talking about this gospel of the kingdom. And then he goes on to say, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him." And so we see that there is a, hi Karen, we see that there is another spirit, there is another gospel that is preached, and it was preached in Paul's days, and it's still being preached today. There's a lot of cults out there. There's a lot of cults that make Jesus someone he's not. There's a lot of cults that make the gospel something that it's not. But we're preaching this gospel this morning. Amen. It is the gospel that saves our soul. And so he warns us that there's going to come preachers who are going to preach another Jesus. They're going to preach another, have another spirit, and they're going to preach another gospel. And so he says, and I rewrote this verse 4 out of the Living Bible because I like the way it phrased. "You seem so gullible. You believe whatever anyone tells you, even if he is preaching about another Jesus than the one we preach, or a different spirit than the Holy Spirit you received or shows you a different way to be saved. You swallow it all. And there, have you ever met people that do that? You know, maybe they got saved. Maybe they went to church. They believed. But then all of a sudden, the latest thing comes along, or they read some on the internet, and they just swallow it like a fish swallowing the hook to be taken and fried in the fire. Amen. In Isaiah 9:6, he reminded us, he said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the reason I put this verse in there is because some of these people that preach another gospel and another Jesus and have another spirit, they don't say Jesus is God. We know that Jesus was the second person of the Godhead, right? Thomas gets a bum rap being doubting Thomas, but when he saw the nail prints in Jesus' hand, he was the first one that called him God. He said, "My Lord and my God." That's what he said. So get off Thomas's back. He was the first one to call him God in the New Testament. Isaiah called him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Amen. That's who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, right? And so there's a lot of religions that teach Jesus was a spirit child. This is right out of the Mormon handbook, that he was a spirit child of a heavenly father and mother, and that he had other heavenly or spirit brothers, including Lucifer. Did you know that? And so the Mormons, they say, well, we're Christians, but you know what they're doing? They're preaching another Jesus. They're not preaching the Jesus of the Gospels, are they? They're saying that he was a spirit child, and he's the brother of Lucifer. Jesus is God. Lucifer is an angel that was created by God. There's a big difference than the Mormons' Jesus and this gospel that we preach. And we need to be aware of that. They go on to say, as a man is God, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. Because, see, they believe like the way Adam started, that Jesus started as a man on a planet. This is weird stuff, isn't it? You didn't know this about the Mormonism, did you? And that he attained godhood by the way he lived. And so, but look at that last statement, as God is, man may become. Who in the Bible can you think of that said, you will be like gods? Satan in the garden, isn't it? It's the same lie in different wrapping paper from Satan that the Mormons, and this is not Paul's gospel. It is not the Bible's gospel, but we are preaching the same gospel today. I don't care how many breaths I have left in me. I'm here to say I'm preaching this gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness in all nations, and then the end will come. And so hold on, church. That's the gospel we're going to preach. That's the gospel we have to share. It is a witness. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the rapture, the second coming, because all of this goes together. Jesus said the gospel is going to be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end's going to come. So you cannot separate what Jesus said about the gospel without talking about the end. There is an end to this, amen? The gospel won't need to be preached in the millennium. It won't need to be preached after the millennium into the eternities past. But right now, we're in the season of the church age, and the gospel is preached, amen? But it's preached as a witness. You know, sometimes we think, well, we got to get them saved. We can't save anybody. Only Jesus can save. But we are to preach the gospel as a witness. You know, it's a witness to the nations, so that when Jesus comes, they can't say, nobody told me. It's our job. So some people get confused about the rapture versus the second coming, just kind of to go over these. At the rapture, the believers are translated. At the second coming, they're not translated. At the rapture, the translated saints go to heaven. The second coming, the translated saints come back from heaven, right? At the rapture, the earth is not judged. At the second coming, the earth is judged. At the rapture, it's an imminent event at any moment. It's signless. When Jesus comes, it'll follow definite predicted signs. We know to the day from the abomination of desolation, according to the scriptures, when the end's going to come, don't we? So you can't, you know, anybody that says, you know, well, I believe no man knows the hour, but they say, I don't believe in a rapture, they don't understand prophecy. Because from the abomination of desolation, that clock starts ticking 3.5 years, 42 months, 360, or no, 1,260 days, Karen. I look to Karen in case I have a brain fart there. Excuse me, I'm not supposed to say that. As the rapture is not predicted, not openly taught in the Old Testament, it's predicted in the Old Testament. Believers only go up, and the second coming affects all men on the earth. The rapture is before the day of wrath. Second coming concludes the day of wrath. The rapture, there's no reference to Satan. And second coming, Satan's bound. And this is one for the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, that say that's already happened and Satan's bound. And I say, well, if Satan's bound, the chain's too long. Amen. And then at the rapture, he comes for his own. And at the second coming, he comes with his own. Amen. That's us. Praise the Lord. And so just to be clear what we're talking about here. Oh, there's more. I forgot. He comes in the air. He comes to the earth. He claims his bride. He comes with his bride. Only his own see him. Every eye will see him. By the way, do you realize that after the resurrection, Jesus was only seen by loving eyes and touched by loving hands? He never showed himself to anybody but the people that loved him. And so that shows me, you know, at the rapture, it's an intimate event to the people that love Jesus. The Bible says he will appear a second time to them that love him. Not the perfect people, not the ones that don't ever sin or make mistakes, those that love him. And how can you not love him when he first loved us? Amen. So he claims his bride. He comes with his bride. Only his own see him. Every eye will see him. The tribulation begins. The millennium begins at the second coming. And so the rapture versus the second coming. Now, Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And so we know that we're not appointed to wrath. We're not going to go through the tribulation. The rapture is going to take us home. And one of my favorite types and shadows of the rapture in the Old Testament is Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws, which married his daughters. And he told them to get up and get out of this place. The Lord is going to destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked him to his sons. In other words, they laughed at him like it was a joke, right? Have you told people Jesus is coming and they laugh at you like it's a joke? They roll their eyes. Yeah, I've heard it before. But the key verse here in this passage in Genesis 19, and I put it in the BB Bible Basic English Version, where they say, get out, these angels are talking to Lot. Get there quickly, for I'm not able to do anything until you've come there. And aren't you glad that God can't pour out his wrath until he gets us out of Dodge? Amen. And he says, like, hey, hurry up and get to heaven. Come on, we're going. I can't start this thing. I can't start this clock ticking till I get you guys out of here. Praise God. In Revelation 4:1, after I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. So this is a rapture verse. Take it, talking to me, saying, come up here. You know, one day we're going to hear a voice go, come up here, or come up here. But it's going to sound like a trumpet. $500. Anyway, it's going to sound like a trumpet. And it's going to say, come up here, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that going to be great? But now, this verse is important because we're going to go through some eschatology this morning. Jesus is speaking. He says, I say to you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And, you know, we take communion around here, and we remember, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. But Jesus told them, the disciples in that upper room, when he was having Passover, he said, this is the last time we do this together, him and them, until we do it in my Father's kingdom. Amen. And we know that very soon after the rapture, there will probably be the judgment seat of Christ, where our works are tried by fire, and then we'll go and we'll sit down in the banqueting table with our King. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. And so, Revelation 5:1, I saw the right hand of him that sit on the throne, a book written within and without. This is the title deed to planet Earth. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. You know, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things coming on the earth. And I used to pray that over and over. Oh, God, please count me worthy. Please count me worthy. Please count me worthy. And then I realized when we get to heaven, the shout goes out, who is worthy to open the book, right? And, I didn't put all the verses here, so I'll just tell you. And John said, I begin to weep because no man was worthy. And the angel said, weep not, behold, worthy is the Lamb to break the seals and open the book. Amen? And so, if there's no man worthy, and only Jesus is worthy, and Jesus said, pray that you be counted worthy, he's accounted worthy. And the only way we're counted worthy is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I just rest in the blood of Jesus Christ that I am counted worthy to be there on that day. And so, praise God. Now, just to give you some timelines then, after the rapture, the two witnesses will appear. This is my opinion of it. There's so many different teachings on these timings. I could be wrong, but they're going to preach and, you know, have the power to call fire from heaven and all these things, and they're going to be killed, and then they're going to be taken up. And then the abomination, the midpoint of the tribulation, is going to happen. And Jesus said, when you see this, flee. Don't even go in the house and get your coats. And just as Hitler killed one out of every three Jews, the Antichrist is going to kill two out of every three Jews. And so that last third will make it to the rock city of Petra. And during that time, 144,000 Jews will do in 3.5 years what the church hadn't been able to do in 2,000 years. They're going to preach this everlasting gospel to the whole world as a witness. You know, I had a brother tell me one time, Jesus can't come yet because the gospel hadn't been preached to the whole world. I said, 144,000 Jews are going to do it in 3.5 years. So you just understand that's the second coming. The rapture is an imminent event, and it can happen. And so, with all that being said, just to remind you, our text, Jesus is speaking, and he says, this is not our text. He says, you will not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And the reason Jesus said this, and I love that Dr. Chuck Missler pointed this out, and I love this, is that he's talking to the Jews. He's not talking to me and you. He's not talking to the church. He's talking to the Jews because they're going to be here waiting for his second coming, right? And he says, you won't see me until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They weren't saying that at his first coming. You know, the Jewish authorities nailed him to a cross. And so he's telling them that. So just to kind of sum up this morning, I'm doing pretty good. All right. I can relax and spread this out a little more. It's not even 11:30 yet. So CNN is going to cover it. Now, and the world's going to watch it, and the New York Times are going to report it, and the Jews are going to be saved by it. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Just the New York Times thing. I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if they still plan on doing this, but back in the days when the predominant majority of the United States was Christian, the New York Times had reserved their largest font for the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a documented fact. They said, when Jesus comes, we're going to have the largest font on the cover of the New York Times, Jesus Christ Returns. Isn't that kind of gives me goosebumps, doesn't it, you? That's what they said. Now, you know, everything's on the internet now, yada, yada, so I don't know if they're still going to do it, but the New York Times has planned to report the second coming of Jesus Christ. CNN is going to cover it, and, you know, probably with a liberal spin. And of course, with the satellites, every eye is going to watch. We're going to be tuned in with our HDTV, and they're going to be watching this event. And Wolf Blitzer or somebody from CNN is going to be there, and he's going to be reporting on what is the Battle of Armageddon. Again, some people say the Battle of Armageddon is at the midpoint. I think it's at the end, but the Jews have been preserved for 3.5 years in the rock city of Petra. And how God does it, I don't know. I don't know if people are drop shipping food in or if water's coming out of rocks and man is falling from heaven again. I don't know. I just know they're going to be fed while they're held up in that rock city of Petra, which is in Jordan by our map. And they're going to be taken care of for those 3.5 years. And finally, the Antichrist, with his horde of armies, is going to make a decision. All right, we've allowed these Jews to live long enough, and they start marching across that barren land toward the rock city of Petra. Now, I believe that verse where Jesus said, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. I believe the devil knows the scriptures better than you and I do. And you know, he thinks... See, it would always confuse me why Hitler wanted to exterminate the Jews. The devil in Hitler wanted to exterminate the Jews because Jesus already came. But if he can stop them from saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, does that mean Jesus can't come? You see where I'm coming from? That's kind of one of those stupid things where people say, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? I don't know what you ask him when he comes. So, but at any rate, that may be what the devil's thinking anyway. And so he's got this massive army heading across, and Wolf Blitzer is there, and he's covering, and he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like this is the end of those crazy Jewish fanatics. They've caused problems with society for thousands of years. The whole world despises them. And now this remnant of these Jews held up in this rock city are going to finally meet their demise. And so let me give you a couple of verses here. Isaiah 63:1. Who is he that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? And that is not the Bozrah you hear about in Iraq. It's a different region. It's an old Bible name. That is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherein art thou red in their apparel, thy garments like him that treads the winepress of the vat. Now, in Revelation 19, as it describes the second coming of Jesus, it says the eyes flame of fire, on his head many crowns. He has a vesture or robe dipped in blood. When I first read that as a Christian, I thought it meant it was idiomatic for his own blood. It's not. It's the blood of all those people that he's slaughtering. And this, who is this coming? He's swooping down, and his garment looks like it's dyed. It looks like someone who treads grapes and gets your robe all red from the grapes. Because when Jesus comes, you know, we're coming with him. We're not doing any fighting. We're just observation. We're just observing, flying on our little white horses behind him. Revelation 19 says, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he would smite the nations and cause war. So Wolf Blitzer is going to be covering this. And he's going to say, it looks like this. Oh, there's more verse. I'm sorry. I've trodden the winepress alone out of the people. There was none with me. For I will tread them with my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. This is that day, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a glorious day that's going to be. And so Wolf Blitzer, go back to our story. Now Wolf Blitzer is going to be there. The cameras are going to be there. And he's saying, it looks like this is the end of those Jews. And the army's getting closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, the eastern sky scrolls back like a scroll. And Wolf Blitzer says, get the cameras up there. What is that? It looks like, what could that be? Are they aliens? Oh, wait, no, they look like horses. Thousands and thousands and thousands of horses. All white horses. And who is that coming in front? His eyes are as a flame of fire. His face is like polished brass. His eyes are like a flame of fire. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. And he's going to swoop down, and his garments are going to be stained with blood. And in one spoken word, the armies are going to be destroyed. The Jews are going to be saved. And the book of Zechariah says he's going to fly on into Israel, land on the Mount of Olives. The New Testament calls it the Mount of Olives. The Old Testament calls it Olivet. It's where Jesus ascended from in Acts chapter 1. And he's going to unmount off of that white horse and probably put his foot on the same spot he left. And the mountain is going to split in half from the north to the south. And he's going to go in and he's going to cleanse the temple, set up his kingdom, and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the year, he said, of my redeemed is come. And at last, finally, the Jews are going to be saved. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That's good news. And so this gospel that I share with you this morning, this gospel shall be preached as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand, shall we? Come on up, Diane. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you that we heard the gospel. We heard it. And unlike so many that have turned a cold shoulder to it, we embraced it and we said, yes, Lord, I believe. And on that glorious day, whenever it was for you or me, the Bible says that God wrote our names in his book. And one day we're going to be up there. We're going to see our loved ones that have gone on before. He's going to wipe away every tear. What a glorious day that's going to be. And he's going to finally complete the redemption process. We're redeemed spiritually, but we will be physically redeemed. We will be given a new body that'll never ache or never have pains. And we will be allowed to rule with him by nothing we've ever done, but by believing this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And what can we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus, we want to just take a minute and say thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for the people that you brought in our lives to share this gospel. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that tugged at our hearts. Thank you for the grace of God that saved us. Lord, we just dedicate ourselves afresh today to you and ask you to help us to not be amiss in sharing this glorious gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.
Amen.